Support for the South Carolina Lead is made possible in part by AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, keeping us apart, but we don't have to be alone. AARP is here in South Carolina, providing information that can help you and your family. Click to connect at aarp.org/sc.
Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the Lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on May 18th, 2020 from my home studio in Columbia. Just so you know, some of this information may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features a look at South Carolinians' opinions on COVID-19. NASCAR jumpstarts its interrupted season at Darlington Raceway. We learn more about antibody tests being developed in the state, Charleston restaurants return with support from the city, and the Lead takes you to happy hour to find out how one local establishment is navigating this new world. Also, a happy 40th birthday to one of our favorite guests, Meg Kennard. Meg, we miss you. Happy, fierce, fabulous, and 40 to you. We'll see you soon. Best wishes. I think you're also leading on the star chart, if we've even updated that. I mean, everything's changed. Happy birthday. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from you all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a one-minute-long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Again, leave us a message with your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on with you and yours at 803-563-7169. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently in the state, the spread of COVID-19 remains ongoing, but is plateauing, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 391 deaths, and currently there are 8,942 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of May 18th at 4 p.m. 412 hospital beds are occupied by patients who have either tested positive or are under investigation for COVID-19. And DHEC's goal to test 2% of the population, or 110,000 South Carolinians per month, is on track to meet this target by the end of the month, according to the agency. As of today, more than 60,000 tests have been conducted for the month of May. Currently, there are more than 50 mobile testing events scheduled through June 5th, with new mobile clinics being added regularly. For additional mobile testing clinics around the state, visit DHEC's mobile testing clinic webpage at scdhec.gov/COVID-19 mobile clinics. Hey, we got some new poll data, COVID-19 poll data, that is. Yep, South Carolinians are split on if they are more concerned about COVID-19's effect on public health or the economy. Whereas when it comes to which the government should prioritize, 63% said public health and 27% said the economy. Now, these are just some of the results from the Clemson University Palmetto poll, which were released on Monday. The poll was conducted in late April, and there was 1,030 respondents. Older South Carolinians were more likely to be concerned about the effect on the economy, whereas younger South Carolinians were more concerned about the effect on public health. The biggest sources of variation are again race and partisanship. Black South Carolinians and South Carolina Democrats are more concerned about the effect on public health. White South Carolinians, especially South Carolina Republicans, are more concerned about the effect on the economy. That may be because 71% of state Democrats are worried of contracting COVID-19, compared to 37% of Republicans. As for the state's response, 51% said they were dissatisfied and 44% approved of the state's response to the crisis. This was somewhat similar to responses for the federal government's response of 52% satisfied and 41% not. Overall, 70% of South Carolinians view COVID-19 as a real threat, compared to 23% who say it is blown out of proportion. You can find a link to the entire poll in our show notes at scetv.org/sclead and click on the episode. Also, tell us how you feel things have been handled by leaving us a message at 803-563-7169. Moving on, Charleston restaurants are coming back online, and to help, the Charleston City Council passed an ordinance last week that allows local restaurant owners to apply for temporary use of additional areas, such as private property and public sidewalks for outdoor dining, since restaurants are recommended to keep dining rooms at 50% capacity. On Friday, just days after in-restaurant dining returned, Charleston Mayor John Tecklenburg said it was time to get businesses back open, step by step.
We can do business, but we just have to do it wisely and safely. And that's what we're going to do right here in Charleston. And because of the fact, y'all, that the hospitality business, restaurant business, was particularly hit hard and early by COVID-19. I mean, they were the first casualty of businesses that were asked to shut down by the governor. It was over 2 months ago. It seems like we're living in Groundhog Day, day after day. It's been a couple of months already. But within just 2 weeks, y'all, over 40,000 jobs were lost right here in the Tri-County region.
However, Mayor Tecklenburg cautioned against crowding in bars and restaurants, as some isolated incidents have already been reported.
I will caution that the one thing I feel like we need to be careful about, y'all, is bars. You know, when you're at a table, you can really, you're set in place and you can distance. And we do need to be careful, folks, not just the restaurant owners, but I'm asking our citizens, the public at large, to try to go out and get a good meal. It's fine to get a bottle of wine, but we really don't want to see right now a lot of large gatherings at bars where folks are just mingling together.
As for enforcement, it will still be a fluid situation with restaurants working with the city and vice versa. Charleston Police Chief Luther Reynolds said his goal is cooperation.
It's challenging. It's going to continue to be challenging. People ask me, what's it like, Chief, you know, navigating through? I don't know. There's not a playbook. It's not cut and dry. I can tell you the last thing I want to do is cite or shut down a restaurant. That's not what we want to do. And so we're working in partnership. And I think we're taking some really good, positive, meaningful steps in the right direction. So I stand here very optimistic and very thankful to be a part of this great city and this great effort as we move forward today.
Thanks to Southcon Public Radio's Victoria Hansen for that audio. And we look forward to a piece from her later this week on the crowded beaches from the past weekend, when for the first time, all Charleston County beaches were open to the public. The Lead had a little bit of a work happy hour last Friday at one of our favorite spots in Columbia, Craft and Draft on Divine Street. A lot of Lead heads there, and of course, AT's wife Kaylin works there. So we wanted to see how they were handling the new normal. But we weren't packed into the bar area like we would be on a typical Friday with dozens of other people. Rather, we set up at one of the four tables out back. And we spoke with Kellen Monroe, who is the co-owner of Craft, and he told me it's part of their measured approach as they navigate this new world that saw their business shift from slinging pints of state and regional craft beer to shifting into triple the amount of beer pickup sales. Local proprietor Kellen Monroe, outside of your establishment here, Craft and Draft, off Divine Street in Columbia. What are we seeing? What's going on here? What's the new normal for you guys here at Craft and Draft?
So our new normal has been that we are doing to-go package sales like we have been for the whole shutdown and that kind of thing. We were lucky enough to be deemed essential, so we have been able to stay open and do take-home packaging and curbside pickup, which we hadn't been able to do before, which was nice. But now our new normal has expanded into outdoor seating. We're doing by reservation only in order to control crowd and kind of keep our customers and our employees as safe as possible. That's a big thing for us, is trying to be able to oversee our crowding so that we're not breaking any rules or putting ourselves at risk, since we do see a large number of people during each day kind of thing.
And Kellen, you have a face wrap on too, and you know, yes, some servers do too. I'm just wondering, like, are you requiring your servers to do that? Is that something you guys want to have just to kind of establish some confidence for your customers, or what's that been like?
Face coverings and gloves, we've kind of said, you know, if we're following the rules and you're washing your hands after you touch anything, and then basically every time we interact with a customer, we use hand sanitizer and that kind of thing. Face coverings we've done kind of voluntarily, depending on how our employees feel about it. Obviously, as it warms up in South Carolina, it gets tougher to do that because of the temperature and that kind of thing. So, you know, we're trying to balance that, you know, comfort and safety issue at both times kind of thing. So most of our employees have decided to wear face masks, and it's been a pretty easy practice to take in. So
do you see it going back inside? I mean, you could be inside right now, but do you see things moving back inside? You have the front part of your store for people to walk in and pick up beer. Usually it's packed out on a Friday like we are right now. It's spaced out. It's full, but it's spaced out. What do you see going forward, or are you going to just kind of take it as it goes.
We're going to work into it. Our big thing, like I said, was safety and trying to make sure that we could maintain how things operated. Here on Divine Street, we obviously have a front and a back, so we were able to use the back as kind of our on-premise options and that kind of thing while leaving the front side open so we could do to-go without there being a lot of crossover of people and customers and that kind of thing. It made it nice for being able to have a to-go option that was independent of the where people were comfortable hanging out. Those people could be out of the way while the people who wanted to do quick pickup and not be out and about in public could either walk in quickly and not have to touch anything, or we could run it out without having to walk through a big crowd of people. So we will be working back towards inside sooner or later. Our big thing is tried to be responsible and make sure that our processes work well. We'll probably do some sort of reservation style for inside as well as we get back towards that, with the same thing in mind, being able to have people in, let them enjoy themselves, and, you know, obviously patronize us in the way that we are used to being patronized, but then allow us to come behind them and clean and be ready for the next set of people without having to worry about being a part of a problem of spreading things that, you know, it is the danger of sitting right behind somebody 30 seconds after they were there, you know. So
how is the brewer scene going? Like, you know, how's the local craft brew scene going? We have a lot of locals here. I'm just wondering, are they doing well? How are they making it? Like, have they had to get rid of kegs for local suppliers? What's it been like for some of these guys that maybe you've talked with?
We haven't heard of anybody having to dump kegs in the Columbia market to this point. Now obviously, as kegs sit longer and longer, more and more that's going to happen. Most of our breweries, I would say, you know, three of our bigger breweries have been able to package most of their products, and we've seen a very high demand on all of our local products that are in packaging, could be easily picked up and taken. We tried to make sure that we were buying at least some kegs from every single brewery during this time period so that we could help them turn over kegs and that kind of thing. You know, a lot of people were out of growlers, out of crowlers, out of everything that you could do draft to go. So it was kind of a weird situation where even if we could buy the kegs, we couldn't get rid of them. So.
And Kaylin gives us a comprehensive glimpse at the safety protocols they're enacting.
We are doing reservation only for our time slots, allowing 30 minutes to clean and sanitize the table. We replace our paper. We sanitize all of the pieces that are on the table. And then we sanitize our hands and wash them regularly. Every time we pour a beer, we're using plastic cups. We've cleaned ourselves beforehand. We're cleaning the bathroom every hour, and we're requiring customers to use sanitizer before they even enter the store to use the restroom. They are not allowed to walk around the store. They are not allowed to order at the bar. So we're taking all the precautions to keep the indoors as safe as possible and make the outdoors as comfortable as possible.
While we were at Craft and Draft, we also interviewed several patrons about their experiences during these past few weeks and how they're adapting their habits. We'll be bringing you their voices over several episodes in our wind down section.
And here they come off turn number four. The pace car is in. Green flag, NASCAR is back.
And zooming on, no, we're not talking about Zoom conference calls. We're talking, I'm wondering, do you like to go fast? Real fast? Yes, Darlington Raceway fast. The Lady in Black played host to the return of NASCAR with the Real Heroes 400 on Sunday. During my time in South Carolina and living in Florence, I've covered several Southern 500s at Darlington Raceway. It's always a wild time, filled with fans everywhere, people camping out, buying merch, roaming the pits and garages before the race. But watching a recap of this race from the past weekend was very different. For example, you can easily hear Kevin Harvick talking to Fox's Reagan Smith, who was standing 6 feet away from him outside of his car after he did his burnout on the finish line because no one was at the raceway due to COVID-19 precautions.
Man, I'm excited. You know, it is weird just because there's nobody up there. And I didn't think it was going to be that much different. And then we won the race and it's dead silent out here. So we missed the fans.
On each car where the driver's name is over their window, there was a piece of tape with a different healthcare worker's name on it as a nod to those who are on the front line fighting this pandemic. In Victory Lane, Kevin Harvick wore a mask while he celebrated his 50th win. So a lot of things were changing, a lot of things were on display for this new normal as NASCAR begins to move on and as we see things start to come back to normal in some ways. And Darlington will play host to two more races this week on Tuesday and Wednesday. Now for a medical update. Bobby Connor talks with Dr. Satish Natig about a collaborative effort underway in South Carolina to create COVID-19 antibody tests. Dr. Natig is an adult and pediatric multi-organ transplant surgeon and the medical director of the Center for Cellular Therapy at MUSC. Dr. Natig is leading the task force for this COVID-19 antibody testing collaboration. And Bobby started off by asking him about the goal of this task force.
This task force is really involved so many people throughout the state, including researchers from Clemson University, University of South Carolina, and then also healthcare systems such as Prisma Healthcare and our own. The goals of this project have been very simple, to really create high throughput screening and confirmation of those people that have been exposed to and infected with the coronavirus and that have developed antibodies or proteins that keep them immune to the virus itself.
And what does that term mean, high throughput screening?
Really, all that means is the ability to do lots of tests in one day. So we have to be able to match the demand of all of those that need the testing.
And why was the decision made to create our own COVID-19 antibody tests in South Carolina rather than just purchasing these antibody tests?
At some point down the road, there may be a supply chain issue for the test, and we want to be able to have a homegrown initiative that we can always depend on for the citizens of South Carolina and even the region. And it also is much more cost effective. So we can drop the cost much lower if we produce our own test, making it much more sustainable for the health system and the patient population moving forward.
And are these South Carolina made COVID-19 antibody tests already available? Are they already in use somewhere within our state?
They're available and in use here at MUSC. So what's happening now is our normal clinical lab has partnered with the Center for Cellular Therapy. And what's happening is if someone submits their test, they're using a commercially available test to screen. And then if they're positive, they're reflexing to our clinical Center for Cellular Therapy to do the confirmation portion of it. In addition to that, we have contracted with various other entities to do the entire screening and confirmation in the Center for Cellular Therapy. So there's so many pathways that are happening, and we've already notified the FDA and submitted the emergency use authorization to be able to do this clinically. And so, yes, we've rolled out and ready to go.
Do you foresee a day in the near future, Dr. Natig, where these South Carolina-made antibody tests will be widely available to the population, to the communities in our state?
I absolutely see that, and I think that that's going to happen pretty soon here. We are boasting a sensitivity of 100% and a specificity of 97.5% on our validation studies that we submitted to the FDA, and these are really good numbers for this type of test and confirmation. And so I think we have a very good test that's cost-effective, that's efficient, with a quick turnaround time, and I think it's a very valid question with an answer that is probably in the short term. I would say weeks.
Thanks, Bobby. You can find that report on southcarolinapublicradio.org. Now, this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. How you're handling the pandemic? Are you adapting? Are you thriving? What are you doing? Are you going out more? Are you staying in? Are you still waiting to see how things work out? Tell us what you're doing. We want to know. We're very interested. You heard us out at Craft and Draft. We were just kind of testing the waters there, talking to people and getting their thoughts. And we want to hear from you as well. So let us know at 803-563-7169. And you might just get on the pod. Again, leave us a message with your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on at 803-563-7169. So we don't have a voicemail today, but we did catch up with Gina Hayes at Craft and Draft in Columbia on Friday.
So Gina, tell me, we're here at Craft and Draft. It's Friday. It's a nice Friday out. What brought you out here? Have you been going out? What are your thoughts on going out?
I actually had a michelada outside on the patio at Coco's and Beer last night. It was great. The second time we've come out with the reservation situation here, and it's great.
What do you need for your confidence or your comfort level to be able to go out somewhere and have a night out or, come somewhere for a drink?
I guess a good level of cleaning and maybe I like the idea of having reduced capacity.
I mean, you seem like you're in good spirits and like you're not too affected by it, but has it been difficult or how's it affected you directly, like work or?
Definitely. I mean, I work for a screen printer in town and most of our business is with large like athletic events, schools, that kind of thing. So we reduced our staff by 2 people. We went down to 75% of our normal hours. Luckily, we got the payroll protection money, so we're back able to do full time. But yeah, we're slower. And yeah, at first I was kind of depressed whenever I had to work at home all day and we couldn't leave.
What wouldn't you do, or what are you not comfortable doing at this point?
I guess I'm maybe not comfortable going into a super crowded bar, or maybe I would love to go to a concert, but maybe not that body to body, wall to wall quite yet. But I could dine in. Again, if it wasn't too crowded, they're taking precautions.
And have you had COVID-19 or anyone you know had COVID-19 or anything?
I had to be tested a couple weeks ago. I'm pretty sure I caught just some kind of upper respiratory virus. And yeah, I kind of forgot I didn't call my doctor ahead and then they wouldn't let me in. Anyway, I got tested and came back negative, just need an antibiotic. But that was kind of like, oh, you know? No, I haven't known anyone otherwise, like personally, that's been infected. So maybe I'm not quite as scared, I guess.
Thanks, Gina. And we'll feature more of our conversations from Craft and Draft this week. So, AT, tell me a little bit about what's going on with you. What'd you do this weekend?
I had a pretty crazy weekend. I watched The Fifth Element, which really tracks with the movies I've been watching recently.
Yes.
Really, really great. And what else? My wife and I had a vigorous discussion about Plato's tripartite. That's a lie.
I was like, no. What?
She doesn't want to be in the cave. I'm in the cave.
I'm a big
whatever.
Cave.
Who cares?
Today,
as we're recording right now, mm-hmm. would be the day that I would go to Spoleto. So big day for me not being there.
Yeah.
Huge news for me not having to go. So what's up with you?
Had a good weekend. Spent some time in the yard catching some sun. You know, since it's going to rain all week, apparently, this is news. It's going to be raining all week, which is good for the
this
grass, whatever.
This
breaking
is news.
But I did find out some shocking news on the Twitter today. That one of our friends, our really good friend of the pod, Towner McGill, watched The Princess Bride for the first time this past weekend. And that's interesting.
I just watched it too.
Yeah, but not for the first time.
No, yeah.
This movie's been
out
for 33
BBC.
Years.
It was on BBC, brag.
Robin Wright,
BBC.
She has been a princess. She's been Jenny. She's been the president of the United States, as well as other roles. CIA. She was a CIA agent and Most Wanted Man, one of our favorite.
Yeah.
John LaCree. I don't even know how to say his last name, but we all know it. Great, great spy writer. But I'm just shook. I was just shook by that experience. You know, when you find out when someone hasn't seen a very big pop culture thing, you know, it's like this bombshell. Like, how have you been living?
I understand when they fall through the cracks a little bit. I get it, you know?
I mean, it's just...
I have a friend who's never seen Star Wars and never seen Indiana Jones. Oof. Like, how do you even function?
I mean,
you know?
Indiana Jones was like half my childhood.
I know.
The other half was Roseanne and Simpsons.
I hated Roseanne. I didn't like Roseanne.
Oh, man.
I didn't like Roseanne at all.
That's where I got like all my sarcasm from. But let us know if you, if you have a pop culture item that's missing from your repertoire.
Your blind spot.
803-563-7169. I'm trying to think if I have, like, what big thing I'm missing here. But
I never watched Friends because a different show that I liked was on at the same time. And this was pre-DVR. So, like, you had to choose sides. And I didn't watch Friends.
Well, I mean,
so
I was always watching Seinfeld.
It.
So we didn't, like, you know, Friends is just the, let's be honest, the watered down version of Seinfeld.
It's dumb Seinfeld. It's dumb Seinfeld. Come on, let's be real.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
beautiful Seinfeld.
There's a little spicy take for your Tuesday, folks. Give us a call. I know you got I know you got feelings about that.
I hate Friends. I'm ready. I want the smoke.
I mean, people be like, oh, that's AT. That's, you know, they're not expecting you to like be like.
Yeah, you got to say something crazy next. What do you think about UFOs? Is Eisenhower an alien?
you gotta watch Hangar One, baby. That's where the reality comes from. I did watch It Comes at Night. It's a kind of a spooky post-apocalyptic movie. I think it was on Netflix. I was watching it with a friend of mine, and it's worth checking out if you need to get a little freaked out. It's a little too close to home, I think, with, you know, everything going on, but it was a good little thrill,
a little spooky.
I don't want to ruin
like
anything,
a little spook.
But it was...
You're saying it's pandemic adjacent?
Yeah, totally. And, you know, don't go expecting closure. Can I say that without being a spoiler right there? I mean...
That's fine, yeah. I prefer movies like that, that they wrap up neatly. Yeah, I hate it when, like, you know, like... 10 minutes into the movie, you're like, okay, well, this guy's going to save the damn day. You know, like, well, I like it better when, like, everyone dies. Like, the end of The Thing, when Kurt Russell is obviously going to die with Childs.
Yeah, we definitely support that ending. Because it's just like, well, and then it'll keep going on. Why isn't there a reboot of that?
There was. It was terrible.
Or like a second part to it. Because, like, what happens when it jumps?
It was the prequel. It was the prequel, the newer one, where they did... Remember where the dog runs from? Mm-hmm, the Icelandic one?
Yeah.
That's where the prequel took place. Which, I mean, it was so bad. It's hard for me not to curse about it right now. Because it is my favorite movie.
It is, yeah. Well, we need a sequel is what I'm saying. But we'll just, you know, keep watching the sequels of Aliens to fill that void.
God, yeah. Prometheus is good. Another hot take. Fight me.
Yeah. Let us know your hot takes. Let us know your pop culture moments and what you've been watching and what you've been doing. 803-563-7169. We just want to keep in touch, wind down with everyone, give you a little distraction, something else to think about during these interesting times that we're living in. And thanks again for listening to the pod. You can keep up with the latest on scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And also, don't forget to support your local newspapers. We're all working on this story together. And when you get your fill of news, take a break from it, go for a walk, even though you probably won't be able to this week since it'll be raining, but do a lot of other things. Just kind of take a little decompress from it all. And you can follow me on Twitter at Gavin Jackson for the latest. And I'll let you know if the governor's holding a press conference that day, which is always carried on SCETV and South Carolina Public Radio platforms, usually around 4:30. We are here if you are our lead community throughout this entire situation as it continues to develop. We are in full-scale hashtag lead laugh love mode together. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Multipass.
Yeah, she knows what a multipass is.
Multipass. Lilu Dallas, multipass.